Hey there, I'm Jeremy with Good Beer Matters. First, thank you for listening to the Good Beer Matters podcast, where we explore the craft and culture of beer. Second, I want to see the beer and hospitality industries improve so we can do a better job, make more money, and so guests can have exceptional experiences. Good Beer Matters is dedicated to the pros and enthusiasts in the beer industry because we are the ones who will make it better. To that end, I want to invite you to subscribe to my monthly newsletter where I share perspectives on beer, styles, pairing, and some practical beer education. Go to goodbeermatters.net to subscribe. My name is Jeremy, and this is Good Beer Matters.
If you go to the north where I lived, you really have a beer culture. If you go to a supermarket in France, and particularly in the north of France, for sure you will have Bière de Garde, you will have Saison, you will have Trappist, Abbaye. Breweries are creating a storytelling with their brand, with their beers.
The imaginary wine line separates beer regions from wine regions, and it goes right through the middle of France. Yet somehow we think of the French as wine lovers who sometimes drink beer. My next guest is here to set the record straight and share the French beer culture with the rest of the world. We find great experiences at the intersection of craft and culture. These are the stories of us, of great food and the beer that brings it all together. For the craft and culture of beer, this is episode 132 of Good Beer Matters with Hugo Picard. Welcome back to the Good Beer Matters podcast. Today, this is kind of fun. Today, we get to go back to Europe and take a look at the beer experience from a country that's mostly known for its, granted, its food, but mostly known for wine. And so this is just kind of a fun little, kind of sneak into the other territory. Hugo Picard, thank you so much for coming on to the Good Beer Matters podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be there. Sorry for my English. I'm French, so I try to do my best to speak fluently and so on. But yeah, sometimes you will probably hear a bit of French.
That's okay. The sound of French is just wonderful anyway. And your English is a million times better than my French. So we'll just roll with it. But Hugo, you and I have met. We met at the Craft Beer Conference in Nashville, and have been talking about doing this kind of telling the story about beer in France. But just to help anyone who's listening and watching, help them understand who you are and your role in the world of beer.
Yeah, sure. So to give you a bit of my background, so I'm 27 and I'm working in the beer industry and beverage industry since 5 years now. So after the end of my study, I have done agronomic engineering school in Lille, in the north of France, called ISA Lille. And so in this kind of school, we are studying, biology, microbiology, but also the business aspects such as sales, marketing, and so on. And during my study, I realized that beer world was really interesting, and we had the chance to have inside the school a pilot brewery and also an association dedicated to wine and beer. And thanks to this kind of stuff, I have started to learn a lot about the industry and to do my internship, in this kind of in different company related to beer and wine industries. And when I have finished my school, I joined Fermentis by LeSaf, which are a yeast supplier. You probably know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I speak to the audience. For sure, you know, Jeremy. But we provide yeast for all kind of fermented beverages worldwide. So we have yeast for winemaking, beer making, of course, cider making, spirits, but also new kinds of beverages, or at least we are working on that, such as kefir, kombucha, hard seltzer, this kind of new trend for new generation. So as long as it's something related to fermented beverages, we will work on it and we'll try to supply yeast worldwide for that. And my role inside this company is to be in charge of all the what we call the home segment, so home brewing, home wine making, home cider making, and so on, and to advise people on how to work with our yeast at home, how to produce a good beer, a good wine, etc. So that's what I'm doing. I arrive in the industry, and yeah, I'm based in France. I'm French, but I also lived in New Zealand in the past, and today I'm working a lot in the US. I'm spending a lot of time in the US, so. It's also the reason why I'm here, and I'm very happy to talk with you because I really see the two worlds, the differences between North America and Europe and especially France.
Well, and that's what intrigues me the most about all this stuff. And I definitely want to get to the home brewing and the home winemaking segment in just a minute. But just the whole culture, and I've mentioned this a few times on this podcast with previous guests, but you know the fermentation culture, the beer culture more specifically, is very much an international culture, and I liken it to going to a major airport, and you have every culture and different types of food, and somehow we all manage to get along most of the time. What I'm interested in is just understanding how, when we go home, how that the difference of that beer experience changes, and how that all changes. But first, a quick question for you, though, Hugo, is you know, here you're in France and you got into beer. Was there a decision between like, well, you know, France is known for wine and I can study wine, but, you know, I decided to take a hard left turn and head into beer. Were you tempted by the world of wine versus beer? How did that all play out?
Yeah. I mean, even today I'm working with both world, with wine and beer because you have yeast everywhere. But yeah, complicated to say, like, when I started to homebrew and so on, it was, you know, someone bought me a beer kit, and you start like that. You start by a classic pay, and after you want to investigate how it's working, what is hop, what is yeast, what is malt, how you can influence with your water profile and so on. So everything started like that. And when you are, I think also I arrive in the industry at the good moment, at a good place, you know, because in France, the industry is still quite young. It's growing a lot. And we can talk about some numbers after. But yeah, I like to consider that between the US and France, if we only focus on beer, we can say that you have like 10 years of difference between the two countries. And today we are really in the period of rising of the craft, definitely. I think between 2013 and 2019, from 500 breweries 10 years ago, in 2019 we were at 1,600. And today, so 4 years later, we are at 2,500. And if you do the calculation, it's something like one craft brewery for 25,000 people. So it's if you bring that per habitant or per people, it's more than in the US. So it's crazy how much it's rising. And it's definitely in trend. Today, the French, they don't know everything about beer. It's not common to see, for example, an IPA, a young IPA. You don't find them everywhere, but if you go in a craft brewery, you now have an IPA, a young IPA, and so on. So these trends are arriving, but definitely after the US. But people, they start to just, they want to understand beer because, as you said, like, it's part of the French culture to know about wine. And when you are young with your parents and so on, they will try to explain you a bit. You will taste just a sip, you know. But you didn't do that with beer because we didn't have any beer cultures. But no, it's changing. And some people, they don't like beer. but they want to try. And it's a this kind of sentence is funny to hear, because when I was working in a brewery in northern France, we were also selling directly at the brew pub, you know. And some people were coming to me saying, okay, I don't like beer, but I would like to taste one. But it's complicated to know, you know, what they put behind the word beer. So in fact, simply for example, an IPA, a classic American IPA, it's not what they are thinking when they say the word beer. The word beer, especially in the north of France where I'm living, it's the taste of Belgian beer, phenolic notes, but also a lot of banana, hazelnut, acetate. I think it's most of the people in France and the north of France, when they say beer, they say Belgian, Abbey, Trappist, 8% ABV, banana or phenolic notes. But when you bring them an IPA, they say, oh, I like this, but it's not a beer.
Which is funny because, you know, when you think about older Americans who remember back in the days when we had three beers and they were all the same, you know, we have a saying here is, you know, some people say, I want beer flavored beer. And what they mean is they want a really watered down lager is really where that comes down to. So when you hand them an IPA or you hand them anything from Belgium, then it's just like a, whoa, what the heck? Especially can you imagine handing someone who just wants, you know, drinks nothing but American lagers and handing them like a lambic or something. Yeah. That's almost a bit mean, you know, I had an experience about 8 years ago. I visited Spain, which is also kind of a newer culture to beer, in the grand scheme of craft beer anyway. But the thing I found interesting, and I've since corroborated this story with a bunch of other people, where in Spain, they were kind of new to brewing beer, new to the craft beer, but their culinary tradition was world-class, much like, you know, when we think about, you know, some of the best cuisine in the world, we think Spain, Italy, France. And so their approach to beer was very advanced. Even though they were new to beer, their approach to it was very advanced. Their notion of flavor was very advanced. Their notion of, I want this beer to go with this food, was very advanced, much more so than those of us in the U.S. who are, by a lot of people's standard, is, you know, we're leading craft beer, but we're not leading the beer experience. What's your experience in France with that same type of thing? You know, new to the beer culture or craft beer culture, but bringing a whole lot of history with you.
Hey there, it's me, Jeremy again. I forgot to mention that I also have a podcast with my dear friend, the incredible Julia Herz. Together, we've created the Sense of Beer Style podcast. It's the essential training for those who want to lead in food and beverage. We've created prepisodes to cover foundational beer knowledge, as well as Stylecast to walk you through each category of the 2021 BJCP Beer Style Guidelines. If you work with beer as part of your job, then subscribe and listen so you can become an authority. Go to senseofbeerstyle.com to subscribe.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of brewing, if I speak for brewers, of course, as I said, trains and so on arrived after from the US. But in a way, it's also an advantage. If I focus, just to give an example, on yeast, what I see in the US is that they have started like 20, 30 years ago. And at this time, you didn't have access to a lot of information. You simply try with what you add, or you were speaking with a friend saying, I use this yeast, so do the same, whatever the style, or you don't really care about which yeast you have. And at the opposite, because when Europeans and French have started to focus on beer, from day one, they had access to the information on internet, and they know that for a Belgian IPA, you will need specific yeast. For a New England IPA, you will need another yeast. And they know that from day one. And so if we investigate on which kind of yeast people are using in different parts of the world. We clearly see that in Europe, you have a better repartition between the different yeast strains we have. At the opposite, in the US, maybe they will use more one yeast because they have started with that and it's working, so they don't look for more. So it's one of the advantages to arrive after. And yeah, it's what I can say after for how people are working there to from a beer point of view. I have to say that they try to be very clean, as you said, to work properly, a bit same way than cuisine. But the beer world is definitely different because you have this crazy touch, which is good. And even here, you see crazy stuff with special ingredients. People, they always think outside of the box. They want something different. And we are really in that here too. But after it's starting, you know, and this trend is worldwide with the rise of lager style. And now you have at the opposite the volunteer to be very clean, to work properly, to have something very drinkable. So you really have the two sides. On one side, the crazy experience. And on the other side, you want something very consistent, drinkable. And if you drink that in 2023, you come back in 6 years, it will be exactly the same beer. And I think it's good to have this two vision because you need something from people they can drink, you know, just like that. You don't have to worry a lot about what you are tasting and so on. And sometimes you want to drink something really totally different with, I don't know, with curcuma, with curry, something. Yeah. I tasted this one with curcuma. It was great. It was surprising, but it was an experience. But yeah, it's where we are today. And yeah, it's really a specificity. Here we are not talking about countries, but about the beer segment, this crazy touch. You really have that in the beer segment. It's not the case in other segments in terms of beverages, but also in other industry. You don't have the possibility to be such as crazy in a way. And the obvious example is wine. You don't do that in wine. Yeah.
Well, it is nice. You know, I think I make a lot of analogies to music, and it is nice to, you know, while I'm cooking, while I'm hanging out with my family, while I'm doing something, it's nice to have just some music playing in the background that I'm not paying attention to, but I like having that in the background. And then there's that concert experience where that's going to get my undivided attention. And I think of beer as the same way. It's nice to have nice to have a different range. Food is that way too. You know, sometimes I want to watch a movie or a game and I want some, you know, some food in my belly. And then I want this, I'm going to an amazing French restaurant and I want to focus. I'm going to take pictures, you know, that type of thing. And so it's nice to have that range. But again, you know, we mentioned this before, when I think most of the world thinks of France, we don't immediately go to beer. What is the history, the short history of beer and craft beer in France, separate from, you know, everything else that we know and love about France?
I think the country is a bit divided. If you go to the north where I lived, you really have a beer culture because we are close to Belgium, to the UK, to Denmark, Sweden, etc. And it's also matters of what you can grow there. For example, in north of France, it's impossible to cultivate vine. So simply people, they have started to cultivate barley, wheat, etc., etc., cereals in general. So all the necessary to produce beers. And also, we are also growing hops in north of France and east part of France in Alsace. In the south, at the opposite, since a long of time, since centuries, they have cultivated vine. And so you have much more of vine history there. So first you have a logic of climate and what you can grow where you are. And if you go to the west of France, You have a lot of apple, and the history of cider is coming from there because they had the possibility to cultivate apple.
Yeah.
So they have done alcohol with what they had. And it's a bit the same thing for beer. In North, we had, in North of France, we had cereals. So we have started to do beer. And it's here we talk about centuries. But if we talk about the closest history, as I say, I think it's the history of craft beer has really started in France in 2013, so 10 years ago. And complicated to say really why. A theory would be simply the internationalization, you know, and also the voluntary of young generation to see something else than wine. And in France, like we have a lot of Occidental culture, like US ports, but US city, New York, LA, etc. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's coming from there too, the voluntary to copy what you like when you travel. More you travel, more things you can taste in different countries. Many people have visited the US. Could come from there, but completely.
Well, is it that the younger generation wants to carve out a new identity for themselves?
I don't know if they, and I can include myself in that. I don't know if we want to completely disconnect off from the older generation, but it's for sure. People from of my age, we drink more beer than people of, I don't know, if they are 50, 60, etc. Definitely it's true. So it's something coming from the new generation. And yeah, after, I can't explain really why we have chosen to do different. But when we are at the restaurant and so on, today, people of my age, we are ordering beer, craft beers. If you are with people who are 50, 60, etc., they will order wine, not beer, because in their mindset, beer, you have the big players, you know, ABI, Heineken, Carlsberg, etc., and that's all. And in their mind, it's not something you put on a table in a restaurant. So with the evolution, with what we have seen with travel, etc., in the US or other country, Australia, New Zealand, in the mind of young people, it's okay to drink good beer, craft beer at the restaurant. And some restaurants in France, they are starting to, you know, suggest association between what you eat and what you drink, meal by meal. So, for example, in Lille, we have a very good restaurant of a very popular chef. You have like seven plates and you have seven different beers to associate with the food you're eating. Small glass, precise, because when you have to drink seven, it has to be small.
But
small
in the name glass. Of science, we're willing to take the sacrifice.
Yeah, it's, So you really have for sure this matter of generation. This new culture, this new beer culture is coming with people, I would say people under 40 today. You really have this beer generation, we could say.
Interesting.
That.
Well, you sparked a memory. If I remember right, Lille, which is just across the border from Belgium in the Hainaut region of Belgium. Do I remember correctly? That is where, in recent history, that's where the Saison on the Belgian side just really flourished. And that's where the one style coming from France or known as a French style, the beer de garde, that's where that really flourished and took off, particularly, I want to say, in the 1960s, 70s, somewhere around there. Is that true? And what's the state of that part of the beer world?
Yeah, no, definitely it's true. As I said, we are really linked to Belgium in terms of beer history when you look at the north of France. So you definitely have Bière de Garde, Abbey, Triple, Double. The best thing you can do to have an idea of what people are drinking, I mean, really usual people, not someone like me who is going to craft breweries almost every week. It's the best thing to do is to go to supermarket and you see which kind of beer you have there because it's what people are buying the most. And if you go to a supermarket in France and particularly in the north of France, for sure you will have Bière de Garde, you will have Saison, you will have Trappist, Abbey, Triple, Double. So the minimum you can have in terms of ABV, it's something like 6. It's complicated to have something less if you are looking for a craft beer. But it's definitely that. And you don't have, in the supermarket, you don't have IPA, for example. So it's complicated, completely different that by what you can find in the US. So you definitely have this Bière de Garde culture. And it's linked to what I said before. Simply the style Bière de Garde and also Saison arrived because we were in the field cultivating cereals and so on, and the style is coming from there. So it's linked to the territory, and it's the reason why we don't really care about, you know, the border, because in terms of climate in the north of France or climate in Belgium, it's the same.
And I'm aware that when, you know, like you just said, when it comes to beer, the borders just become dotted lines, so to speak, where the style of beer, the flavors of beer are very similar. And it's just, it's kind of nice because, like I said, beer is an international culture. So instead of country borders, we have beer regions that kind of redefine our sense of place. And I find that interesting as well. And particularly in that border region between Lille, France and the Hainaut region and everything else around there that I haven't been there, but it just through studies and paying close attention to the beer world, what appears to be. And it's really interesting. And what you're saying is just kind of corroborating that story that is still in fact, alive and well today. Go ahead.
No, just wanted to say that people, they are also, I think it's more like a trend of today, they want to go more local. In the past, it was like kind of cool to have a beer coming from the US, a beer coming from Australia, New Zealand, even from south of France, if you are in the north, north of France, if you are in the south. Today, you really have these trends of, and it's not only for beer, it's for everything. What I call it in France, it's not a French word, but we say localvarism or localvarism, if I translate
localvarism.
Yeah, that's it. So we say the same in French. And now people, they prefer to drink what is close. They prefer to eat what it's close. They don't want to buy something at the other side of the world. So it's also linked to that. More and more, I think, you will see the trend of subscribing, you know, the beer in the territory, saying that it has been brewed with malt coming from not so far, coming from a close farm, with brewed with hops coming from this farm in an ideal world, it's complicated, but with yeast produced not so far from there. But I think we are going in this direction. And if you look at the new style, for example, you can find in the BGCP, you have New Zealand Pilsner, you have New England IPA, you have West Coast IPA. More and more you see style defined by your territory, and it wasn't the case in the past when you were brewing a triple. Everything could be a triple, but it was not written like French triple or Floridian triple. It will come. So definitely I think we'll see more and more beer styles defined by a region or a territory, and a bit less by the ingredients inside the beer.
I certainly hope so, and that's one of my theories that I'm getting out there. And if anything else, I'm hoping to plant the seed, if not predict the future. But you know, as beer becomes international, as beer becomes a global thing, and craft beer specifically is what I'm really talking about. Many podcasts or episodes ago, I talked to someone from Ninkasi Brewing in Lyon, and they talked about how they have their IPA, but they're using the French Aramis hops and other French hops, and so that really was a French IPA as opposed to a British IPA, yeah, as opposed to a West Coast New England IPA versus a West Coast IPA, and it's just and to see all that coming about, to see how we can take these beer styles. And this is precedented. You know, we look at stouts, porters and stouts from England, and that now we have Russian Imperial stouts and Baltic porters and tropical stouts from Jamaica, and to extrapolate that on a timeline and see that, hopefully all of you at Fermentis are going to get really busy in the next decade, because we need yeast for this particular Jamaican IPA. We need yeast for this particular Argentinian, yeah, IPA, and this South of France IPA versus the North of France IPA. I think that is in our future. I think it's a ways off, but I think we're going to see that. But like what you're just saying, and other people have told me, I think we're heading in that direction. What do you think of that? Or what do you make of that?
Yeah, no, definitely what I said, totally in line with what you said. I think we are going in the direction, and yeah, at Fermentis, we are doing our best to provide solution for every new trends. But after, we also have to explain that solutions could come from a new product, you know, specially selected for this style. But it could also come from what you are doing with a product. As you said, if you are using the same recipe, but with your example, a French hops instead of an American hops, you will have something completely different. And reverse, if you are using the same yeast, but from a different way, playing with different fermentation temperature, with different gravity, you will have completely different stuff. And it's also the kind of study we are trying to put on the market, to deliver to brewers and home brewers, explaining that with, if I take a concrete example, with a coach mm-hmm. yeast, if you use it in a hoppy matrix, you can really produce a good New England IPA. So you will have this local perspective we discuss on one side, but the experimentation perspective will also continue, and it's something I think we have to keep and to promote in the beer industry. We have this volunteer to always experiment, try something new, and we have to keep that, to find new style, new things to do. And clearly it's something very good in the beer market, and even more in the US, because even if we don't have, and we discussed about that, a long history with beer in France, we are really close from Belgium, mm-hmm. and they have a long history with beers, and we are sometimes a bit stuck with our history. We would say we don't want to do something different, because a Belgian Trappist is that. We don't want to explore something else. In the US, like, people, they break the codes, and thanks to that, we have found new beer style, and now they are replicated in Belgium. So we have started to make the things move, but I think closest we are from Belgium, more we want to keep the tradition and don't touch everything. And sometimes it's not problematic, but it's our way to do a bit here. We don't want to do something different. We don't want to put another hop variety in a specific beer style, you know. So I mean, it's completely different, and it's good to have the two sides, like conservative and the experiment guys, because from the two worlds, you can learn a lot of things.
Yeah. So you made me think of something. So you mentioned that you're 27 years old. It's been a long time since I've been 27 years old. Yeah. And so the older I get, the more I start to, and maybe this is normal, I start to appreciate more of the tradition of things. But that's not to say that we abandon innovation of that new fandangled, you know, well, that's what the kids are doing. No, I don't agree with that either. What I mean is, you brought up a Belgian triple. To honor that tradition, as a brewer, we should do our best to learn how to brew the iconic Belgian triple, and to the point where we nail that style, where I can brew an amazing classic Belgian triple. But after I have developed that skill and ability and knowledge, now let's have some fun. What would a Belgian triple be like in Spain? What would a Belgian triple be like if it were brewed in Jamaica or Hawaii or Argentina or Tahiti or, you know, or Africa, anywhere? I mean, you know, that's when, after we learn the tradition, then we can riff on that style and try and come up with something new and really cool. And it seems like France is really in that same mindset, where there's, you said, France is fairly new to the craft beer scene, but by no means is France new. You know what I mean? You know, France has led the world in wine, has led the world in culinary prowess. And so what I want to get to, a question I have for you is, so we have this whole thing of like, we're respecting the tradition because there's a lot of value there, but there's some really cool things we can riff on now. We can go off in new directions now that we've mastered, you know, French cuisine and French wine and French beer. Now, where can we take this? Where do you see that collision of that tradition and this innovation? You know, you mentioned the older folks drinking wine in France, the younger people drinking beer. How do you see that coming together in a good, a good or bad way?
I think I will answer from a consumer perspective, because if you talk to craft brewers, of course they know how to handle a very traditional recipe, and they have started to explore different stuff. But from a consumer perspective in France, we still have, I mean, we as an industry, to educate people on what is a good beer, what is a Belgian triple, what is an American IPA. Because today they are drinking and they are buying craft beer because it's kind of cool, it's something different than the industrial ones, etc. But they have never been really educated on the different tastes, you know, on what is esters, what is an ester, what is, I don't know, I don't have all the example in mind. But we still have to educate people because today they appreciate craft beers for sure, but they don't, they are not really able to put words, you know, on what they are drinking. So we are still in this tape with all the cool stuff craft brewers are doing in this tape of education. So definitely if you go in a craft brewery today in France, you will have on one side traditional style. You will have a blonde, you will have a Belgian double, you will have an American IPA, very classic. And if you look at the other side of the menu, you will have pastry sour, you have double imperial gauze, you know, crazy stuff. So if you are a brewer today, you have to do both to have this experiment side, but you also have to do something very classic to attract average consumer inside the craft beer industry. Because if people start with a pastry sour, it's a bit complicated.
Yeah, that's, so that's where we want a beer flavored beer.
So it's better to start with a classic American IPA, spend some time enjoying what is the taste of hop, what yeast bring to the beer, etc. Very the basics. And once the average consumer will have understand that, they will start to go to the step two and try crazy stuff. So yeah, breweries today, they are doing both in terms of experimentation and educate people on the basics.
But you're describing an education. You're describing an exploration for those who are interested. And you know, I might step out on a limb and say that anyone coming from such a rich culinary background, such as France and Italy and Spain and other places, you know, there's just a relationship to food and flavor is a little bit more advanced than my experience in the U.S., for example. Like, you know, we could just talk about bitterness. You know, bitterness is typically regarded as a bad thing here in America. If it's bitter, it's bad. I don't want it. I want something sweet, generally sweet. But in these rich culinary cultures such as yours, that bitterness is part of enjoyment. I don't want anything purely bitter, but, you know, you embrace bitterness. You embrace complexity. Yeah. This is kind of born and bred from the beginning. How is this exploration? How is this education in beer actually manifesting within the culture? Are people embracing it? Do people want to be educated? Do they want to explore beer?
I think they want, but we also have to change mindset of people just in terms of what is a beer. Because if you go back in the past, as I said, beer, it was only something industrial. And a good example is also if we talk about cans, you know, in the US and in North America, or in Australia, New Zealand, today you only have cans almost. In France, beer cans, it's a bad beer. It's something for you drink in the street like that just to have to be drunk, not something of good quality. It's really the mindset today. So craft brewers, they are trying to explain that it's better for conservation and so on. And today more and more you see beer in cans, but they have to educate. And it's just like you have to switch on, to click on the button. When you drink a beer, that you are tasting something you have to investigate, because sometimes when people are drinking a beer, they just switch off everything you said, that the volunteer to investigate about bitterness, to enjoy the different taste, etc. They will do that for food, they will do that for wine, but when they are drinking beer, they are not linking beer to this kind of work. So it's really an education to do. And it's also different because it's really clear for people that to produce a beer, it's a recipe. The brewer is creating a recipe, he's choosing his hops, his yeast, etc. It's a process. But if you talk about wine, in the mindset of people, and especially in France and Italy, the wine is something like magic. You put grapes in a fermenter, or they don't even know what is a fermenter.
Really?
And just because of the grape, just because of the grape, just because it's coming from Bordeaux, from Bourgogne, from Northern Italy, you have a really good taste by magic. And for them, wine is not a process. It's like a myth. It's a culture. It's something.
Is it like a spiritual
from
pursuit?
The earth. Yeah. No, definitely.
Amen.
And in the beer, because it's a recipe, because they know that it's a process, they will not be in the same mood when they will be tasting.
Gotcha.
They will not. They are not looking for tropical fruit notes. They are not looking for bitterness. They are just drinking and enjoying the moment. But when you are at the restaurant and you receive your glass of wine, even if you know nothing about wine, you will start to do that, to smell the wine, say, okay, you can bring the bottle, and you know nothing, but you will never see someone doing the same for beer. They will just receive the beer.
And that's an interesting that's an interesting comment that you just made, because you're talking about this kind of mysterious notion about what wine is adds to that element of the experience. And so, you know, you put it in a nice glass and you don't just throw it back right away. You swirl it, you look at it, you think about it, you pray about it, you give gratitude, and then you taste it and you go, oh, you know, the angels sing. we're not quite there yet with beer. I mean, you know, yourself, myself, and a bunch of people that, that we know are there, but we're trying to get everyone else to understand that this can be the same experience. It doesn't have to be. I've had plenty of wine out of a can, and it was just a, you know, hey, let's throw this back. But it's the, what you're describing is the approach, the amount of respect, the appreciation for what has gone on to put that liquid right in front of us right now. And I think that that's the part that I think we, as a, as an industry globally, need to get to.
Yeah, no, sure. And you have, I think it's really a specificity from France and Italy, always things about wine, this mythology. And yeah, we have to explain that for wine, it's coming from specific grapes, but it's also a process. People have to understand that. And once they will understand that for wine, you have a process which is complicated, and the guys in vineyards, they are doing a huge work, but you have a different process in beer, but this process is also very important, and at the end you will have different tastes and so on thanks to this process, and people, they don't really realize
today. Well, and one of the questions I want to ask you, you just partially answered, but you know, okay, we're talking about France. France, you know, may not be first and mostly known for beer, but it is known for wine, bread, cheese, all of these are fermented products. So, and the question I wanted to ask you, which you partially answered, is what is the attitude about fermentation? And so there's the wine versus the beer. Does that extend to, you know, French bread, French cheese as well, as far as like there's magic and mystery and it's elevated and experiential, and then beer is something that you drink after a long, hard day?
Yeah, I mean, if we talk about yeast, I think for bread making, for example, it's quite something known that you need yeast to produce bread. So on this point, it's clear. For beer, it's definitely clear because it's written on the label. But for, in wine or in cider, cider is totally different in France than what you can find in the US or the UK. But in wine, most of the time when, you know, discussing with friends and so on, when I explaining what I'm doing, and I say that I'm working in fermented beverages industry, say, yeah, okay, so you're working with beer, say, yeah, but also with wine. Say, oh, you have yeast in wine? Say, yeah. Otherwise, you don't have any fermentation, even if it's not a yeast.
Otherwise, that's grape juice.
Us, you have, you have white yeast. Like, it's mandatory to have a fermentation. And it's the same for cider. Cider, even if you are not buying a fermented yeast, a selected yeast, you have yeast, you have alcohol at the end. So it's quite funny to have this kind of discussion. So it's really different. But for bread and beer, definitely people know that you have yeast and it's a fermentation process and so on. So it's what I can answer.
Well, and kind of along those same lines, I'm going to extend that conversation just a little bit further out. And so one of the words that we all have learned from France is terroir, and that is used primarily in the world of wine, but I think you and I would both agree that we could apply that to bread. We could apply that to cheese. We could apply that to cider, and we could apply that to beer as well. What is the conversation about terroir in beer in France?
It's not really in the conversation. Like we discuss about the local, the territory beer perspective. So it's coming, but from a different way, you know. In wine, it's really, again, something really important. And in France and in Italy, if you look at a bottle of wine, what you can see written in capital, it will be Bordeaux, it will be Bourgogne, etc. And the vineyards, the grapes you are using, will be written, but in small or behind the bottle. So the territory is even more important sometimes at the grapes and so on. In beer, as I said, people are paying attention from where the beer is coming, but they will not say, okay, it's coming from, I don't know, Bordeaux, if I keep the same example. It's because it's coming from Bordeaux that it's good. They will never say that. They will say, okay, it's coming from not so far from where I live. Okay, it's good. I will take it. It's local and so on. In wine, it's sometimes, again, I speak for average consumer, not someone educated or not someone working in the industry. But when you are buying a bottle of wine, you say, okay, Bordeaux, it's a good one. so it's completely different. I think
that's because they
the terroir, and you have.
I was going to say that's because they have good wine and great marketing. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. And if you investigate on the scientific side, you will find some study about the impact of terroir on wine. For example, you have a different study, and I'm no one to speak about. What is the impact of terroir today in wine? I couldn't answer about that, but you have plenty of studies if you investigate on the scientific side. But sometimes we in wine industry, but maybe we put too much importance to the terroir. It's important, but the process is also important. And at the opposite, for the beer, the process is really important. We put a name on the recipe, we put a style on the recipe, but we are not speaking a lot about where from where it's coming from. And it's what we said before. I think we are starting to see this kind of approach, saying that it's a New Zealand Pilsner, it's a New England IPA. So more and more we see from where it's coming. And maybe we'll see the opposite in wine. Maybe more and more we will see the process explained at some point. It's funny to work. Really, it's really a good part of my job, like working with and discussing with people from different industry, from spirits, whiskey, gin, cider, wine, beer. You really learn a lot of things. And at Fermentis, we have people coming from worldwide, like from Japan, China, Russia, South America, North America, discussing with everyone. Really, you learn a lot of stuff. And maybe the best example, the example I like to quote is cider, because cider, even the word cider, if you talk about cider in Spain, if you talk about cider in the US, if you talk about cider in the UK, in Chile, in France, the word doesn't mean the same thing at all.
Really?
So it's really funny definitely, because even, you know, cider, hard cider, if I order a cider in the US, I will have an apple juice, so I will be a bit disappointed. So it's really, really funny. In Spain, if you ask for a cider in País Vasco, at the north of the country, you will have something very sour. It's totally different of what we have in France. So just with one word, you have a different perspective about a beverage. So it's really, really interesting.
That's cool. That's the part I love, is how that all changes. But so before we start winding down, I've got a couple quick questions for you, and they're quick as, you know, relative. But one of the things I want to find out from your experiences, from your perspective, I mean, you do have a global perspective with your job and your education, but of course you're rooted in France, and particularly Northern France from your school days. But how do you define, and how do you create a really great beer experience for consumers?
How can we create a beer experience for a consumer? It's a good question. I think more and more today we are seeing like brew pub. It's definitely like not the solution, but a good solution to create really an experience around beer, because when people are coming to a brew pub, They are seeing, you know, the brewing system. They are seeing the fermenters. They have the possibility to discuss with brewers and so on, to drink craft beers. So really, in a brew pub, it is a place where you have the possibility to be educated, to drink something different, to learn something different. Because when you are in a traditional bar today, so a bartender who is buying his beer to a brewery, of course they know about beers, but you will not have all the history behind what is the process, why you have decided to brew this style and not another one. And today what is good also is that breweries are creating a storytelling with their brand, with their beers, and social networks, I think they are helping a lot on this side, because more and more I see French brewery, every time they are launching a new beer, they will just do an Instagram post or a short video explaining, okay, it's this type, why we are doing this type, because that we have done the label in partnership with an artist, it represents the hop variety, we have used this yeast and so on. So it helps a lot to educate people about beer, and it's very helpful for the industry. And to come back to your question, really, it's an experience. It's an all-around experience. The beer experience is not just about drinking a beer. It's discussing with the brewer, it's to be in the good environment, to enjoy the beer, to follow the brewer on social networks, to learn about a recipe. So for me, it would be the perfect experience about beer.
Wonderful. Well, and like you experienced before, like the way that people think about wine and kind of put it up on a pedestal, maybe we should put beer on a pedestal even more and just kind of like, you know, yeah, honor it for all that it truly is. Another quick question before we wind down. What do you see in the future of French beer, a French craft beer in the next 5-10 years?
I think it will continue to grow, definitely. And my colleague in charge of France, when he's on a trade show, or even if I go on a trade show in France, it's crazy the number of people coming, visiting our booth and saying, okay, guys, I have a project of breweries and I would like your advice for yeast and so on. I would say I'm not able to put a percent, but it's crazy the number of people still today coming to say, I have a brewery, in project. And yeah, today we are already at 2,600. It will grow again and again. I think we will see, as I said, more brew pub. So places located a bit outside of the city center. But people are going to this place, you know, after work, just enjoying beer with colleagues and so on. So it's not a problem to not be in the city center. And from a brewer perspective, of course, it's cheaper to have a place outside of the city center. Because, like, if I have to explain that to U.S. citizens who have never visited Europe, like, our city center is really city center, like we do everything by walk, we are not using our car and so on. So sometimes be outside of the city could be problematic, but brew pub, just because of their popularity, they are starting to bring people outside of the city just to drink their beer. People are coming there by car, drinking 1-2 beer and going back home. So it's also a future. After, I think, like, once we discuss about that, like, once the average consumer will be educated on what is a good beer, but at the opposite, what is a bad beer, like, when people will have learned what is diacetyl, what is sulfur, yeah, etc., I think they will start to choose breweries. Today, you have a spot for everyone if you're in the brewing industry, like really it's a good community and so on, but at some point I'm not able to say in how many years, but you know, it's normal, people will start to be educated, to know what they like, and they will choose to orient their choice in this or this direction. Maybe they will choose a brewery which are producing like English styles, or they would choose more brewery with IPA, I don't know. But at some point, you will have a step of selection, because We are, like in France, we are 70 million people today, and we already have 2,600 breweries. We can't finish with one brewery per habitant, you know. So at some point we have to stop to create new breweries. And yeah, I think it's we will see the same than the US. In the US, it has grown like that during years, and now it's more like flat. And we will arrive for sure at the same point at a moment. I think in the US today it's like 9,000 breweries.
I think
like
we're
that.
Close to 10,000, and judging from the discussion from the Brewers Association at this last CBC, we're not expecting much growth for the next couple of years. So we'll see.
Yeah. So it's something like one brewery for 30,000 people, and we are beating the same standard. So from today, I think we will arrive to this same kind of growth. Like, yeah, of course, and I hope that we will still have new opening with good brewers, because they are doing great stuff in France, and it's natural, it's the economy. We will also see some people closing their business. I hope it will not be the case for a lot of breweries, but it will happen for sure, because the market will simply reach its maturity, you know. It's just classic economy.
Thank you for all that. I do want to be respectful of your time, so I'm going to go into our my wind down questions. And these are designed to be quick answers, but you know, if you have a longer answer, then lay it on us. But tomorrow, Hugo, we're going to anoint you as king of the entire beer world for one day. What's the first thing you would change?
Good question. Come on. It's so much power for me. No, I think I would go definitely like in beer education, like beer education for everyone, because we discussed a bit about that. You have the choice to like or dislike a specific style or another one, but you have to know why, you have to taste, you have to know what is, I don't know, for example, you have the right to not like an imperial stout, but only once you know what is a good imperial stout. You know, when you have, and it's what we said about, you know, tradition, it's once you know the tradition that you have the right to explore something else. And it's what I would like to say to everyone, like before to say you don't like, just taste a good one. What is a good definition of the style? And if you don't like this one, okay, you don't, it's simply a matter of taste, but at least you try. And sometimes, some people, they taste something and say, I don't like that, but it's not really like an argue, you know, it's simply like relative to everyone. Could be a good option, like beer education for everyone, like at school, in college, maybe.
I like that. You know, just kind of everyone has to undergo, classes or some sort of formal education to appreciate the art and the joy and experience of, So at the end of your royal day, we're going to celebrate your majesty, and you get to go anywhere in the world to have any beer to drink and any food to eat with it. Where would you go and what would you have?
I think, again, it's linked to personal history, I suppose. It's not really what I prefer, but history is part of us, and I think I would go back to New Zealand definitely, because I lived there for a year and it was great. The only thing I didn't like in New Zealand is that if you are in France, if you want to go at the opposite of the world, it's literally New Zealand. So it's too far from me, but like a New Zealand IPA made with Nelson Sauvin could be my option, and eat with that. Like, I would not say New Zealand food because it's good, but it's not like the kind of food we have in France, but Simply, I don't know what I like in terms of food, which could be good pairing with a New Zealand IPA. Could be like a fish, because with Nelson Sauvin notes, wine notes, white wine notes, could be interesting to pair that with a fish with simply a good sauce.
Yeah.
Could be a good choice.
Awesome. Next wind down question is, why does good beer matter so much to you?
I mean, and it's also a topic of our generation, I think good things matter in general. More and more, we want to consume less, but consume good. And we can apply that to beer. I prefer to drink less beer, but more money if necessary, because the ingredients, they have a cost. But to drink something good, something with good ingredients made in a farm close to you, with yeast produced in good condition, with hops growth in good condition, and so on. It's why it's important for me. But it's not only related to beers. For me, it's related to everything in my way to consume. And it's like the problematic of my generation, and it will be the problematic of everyone pretty soon. So it's something I'm always thinking when I consume a product, and we can definitely apply that to beer. And it's the reason why I would like to educate everyone on what is a good beer and what is important to drink or consume a good beer.
Excellent. So the last questions are really, really easy. If anyone wanted to connect with you or Fermentis, where could they go?
So you can simply go on our website. So go on Google Fermentis, fermentis.com. You will find information about our products, our studies, about what we are doing day to day. And we also have like classic social networks. So you can go on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the classic ones. Or if you are in China, we have WeChat. But I think you don't have a lot of people listening to you in China.
Probably not a
But
lot, but
after
we will
that, it's
see.
the best. Yeah. So it's a good way to contact us is through our website, a contact form, or through our social networks. After to have my email address, no problem. It's quite easy to have. It's if you contact us through our website and you say, I want to talk with Hugo, or you say you are working in homebrew and wine, etc. It will go directly to me, and I will do my best to answer you. After, don't worry if I don't answer like in one day, because we have this global perspective, even if I focus a lot on the US. But I do my best to answer to everyone, to any question. There is no wrong question. If you simply want to know more about yeast, or you are not sure about something about fermentation, just ask. It's the best way to do and to learn something new. So don't hesitate to contact us if you have a problematic regarding any type of fermentation, beverage fermentation. We are here for that. We like the fermentation process because we have talked a lot about beer, but our patient first is fermentation. So could be fermenting something totally different from what we were talking today. Could be, I don't know, could be tea, could be coffee, could be crazy stuff. Don't hesitate. And maybe we will have an answer for you all. We will do our best to answer
Awesome.
at least.
And just last thing, do you have any final words you want to share with anyone watching or listening?
Oh no. I mean, yeah, thanks for listening first, because we have been discussed like for an hour now, something like that. So I'm always impressed. It's the same when I'm doing a seminar or a webinar, or when I'm doing talk show and so on. I'm very positively surprised, and people are so kind, because they are spending, yeah, 1 hour, 2 hours listening to me, speaking with my French accent about yeast, about beer, about wine cider. And yeah, people, they are really focus on the hobby. They want to know more. They want to learn more. They always have good questions. So thanks for listening. Thanks for spending this time with us. And again, Jeremy, thank you for the invitation.
My pleasure. Thank you for all the work you're doing. Thank you for all the education that you're spreading throughout the world. And it's just it's an interesting story. I can't wait to follow up and just see where we're going with French cuisine and French beer. And you know, far be it for me to not drink any French wine someday when I come visit. But you know, I want a beer first. But thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Sure. Come. Yeah, the next step, I think, come one day and we'll share beer or wine. It will be
fantastic.
My pleasure.
All right. French cuisine is world-renowned and sets the standard for what an elevated cuisine experience can be. Does it make sense that if we apply the same mentality to beer, that something extra special is bound to happen? I urge you, next time you have French cuisine, skip the wine and order the beer. Let me know how it goes. In the next episode, we head north to a Scottish castle brewery to learn why traditional ales are relevant now more than ever. I'm on a virtual tour of the craft and culture of beer around the globe. I've put Good Beer Matters on video so I can take you along for the ride. If you know of a person, a place, or a beer story that needs to be told, let me know. Meanwhile, grab a beer, hang out with friends, and let your world open up. Thank you for listening. Cheers.